Hello, I'm Fiona Nowling, and you're here today with Every Woman, and I'm in the studio with Marvita Oliver, who's our main host for today. But I just wanted to do a quick shout-out to some previous guests we've had on the show, which is the Kansas City Women's Chorus, because they've got an upcoming concert on the 15th of December, and they're being very evil. It's at 3 p.m., so I can't go because I'm going to be on the show. But they also have another one, Music on Truest, on Sunday, December 16th at 2 p.m., and details for those are all available on their website, kcwomenschorus.org, if you're interested in finding tickets and more details. And very best of luck to our friends at the Kansas Women's Chorus. And now I'm going to pass you over to Marvita Oliver, and she can introduce our wonderful guest for today. And go ahead, Marvita.
Hi, thank you, Fiona. Thanks to Una and Anthony, the guys who are producing the show for us today. We want to welcome everybody to Every Woman Show. This is this is 90.1 KKFI Kansas City Community Radio Station. Today I'd like to introduce you to two women that I must say I admire, and I appreciate their sense of humor. I'll just get straight to the point. I admire their professionalism, and I appreciate their sense of humor. I'll put it like that. First lady I'd like to introduce, she was one of four women named to the mayor's team, among with others, as a community leader for her passion for the Wyandot community, as well as her thoughtfulness approaching problems, as well as her wide range of relationship and experiences in Wyandot County. On January 29th, 2018, Mayor David Alvey named this woman as a Deputy Chief of Staff for Neighborhood and Small Business Development. She's also the leader of the Heartland Black Chamber of Commerce and has held directorship positions in the United Way, Truman Medical Centers, and she's also cultivated extensive relationships in the Kansas City Public School System, as well as a liaison, as an HR liaison at Sprint. And this lady, I could go on and on, actually. I've seen her take over a group of people and just excite them to want to do more. So I want to introduce Ms. Crystal Watson, Deputy Chief of Staff of Wyandotte United Government. Did I say that right?
Unified Government.
I'm sorry. Okay, but thank you and welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, I am Crystal Watson, Deputy Chief of Staff in the Office of the Mayor, Mayor David Alvey, for Kansas City, Kansas, Unified Government, Wyandotte County.
Thank you for saying that much better than I did.
And I am on the Board of Directors for the Heartland Black Chamber of Commerce. The current CEO and president is Kim Randolph.
Okay, I was hoping you'd clarify that for me, because gotcha. I thought you had said something a little different, but yeah. I was just going off things I had read. One thing that I like to say is Ms. Crystal Watson is very active in the Kansas City, Kansas community. I would say she and our other guests are advocates for Kansas City, Kansas. I mean, like I had never seen before. I mean, I'm from Overland Park, Kansas, but I guess I've been spending so much time in Kansas City, Missouri, I kind of got indoctrinated in the KCMO stuff. But it was a pleasure to meet someone like yourself who is so passionate about Kansas City, Kansas. What makes you so passionate about Kansas City, Kansas?
Well, number one, I was born in KCK. I was born at KU Medical Center. So I am considered a dot. So you'll hear people in KCK tell me I'm a dot. That means they are from and we were born and raised in KCK. And my father was one of the first black voices on radio back in the day. His name was Neil Poindexter. And he started out at, what was that, KPRS?
Oh,
KPRT.
Okay.
Way yeah. back in the day. Uh-huh. So how ironic that I'm even on the radio today. It kind of gives me deja vu, the days when Dad was on doing this. But because I was born and pretty much raised here, I don't know. I mean, I love KCK. I've been in other cities, you know, and travel you know, from work. And I feel like KCK is a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. And, you know, it's just a good old place to be. So it's not hard to be an advocate or to want to see the best for your community.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I ask, I guess, what would be an obvious question? What do you see as the difference between Kansas City, Kansas and Kansas City, Missouri?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Okay, you know, so we're all friends.
You know, I would say that the environment's different. The tempo is a little different. You have a lot more, I think, activities sometimes here in Kansas City, Missouri, than you do in KCK. I won't even talk about, you know, Overland Park or Johnson County and that. But I think that's the difference. And then I think, to some degree, the people are different. I can't explain in what way. Mm-hmm. Now, Missouri may say we're a little more country. And Kansas City, Kansas may say Missouri's a little more ghetto. But it just depends on who you talk to. But I think both communities are good. I think that they have a lot of potential in terms of growth. I think you have a good group of professionals on both sides of the house. So, you know, and people get KCMO and KCK mixed up quite a bit. So mm-hmm. I think they're about the same, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll let that stand.
Well, you know, if you probably had somebody else here from Missouri, they say something totally different.
I was getting right. Some head nods from our other guests, so I'm going to go ahead and take the opportunity to introduce her and bring her into the conversation. Our next guest is a multi-talented serial entrepreneur. She has over 12 years of combined experience in real estate, sales, asset property management, and something I don't know what it is, so I'm going to ask her about it, but REO, foreclosures, loss mitigation, asset management. You're going to explain that for us, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. And she's confident in her buying and selling ability as well as her ability to add to any organization. I know this firsthand, as this guest was directly responsible for requesting membership in the REIT program to be extended to Kansas applicants, as it was officially only open to Kansas City, Missouri applicants. So it's my pleasure to introduce a woman whose passions also direct her interests as an advocate for Kansas City, Kansas, and a leader amongst her peers and my fellow classmate in the REIT program, which is a real estate associates program, Miss Anitria Hampton Monk. Welcome to Every Woman Show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you here. When I first asked you guys to be on this show, you had come to our class, Crystal, to lecture us about the Kansas City, Kansas, and opportunities right. in commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. And Sunitria was in the class, and I'm not sure how many other people, maybe about 20 people altogether. Mm-hmm. But it became clear that one of the reasons why we were even in the classroom that we were in Kansas City, Kansas, was because Sunitria had made a request to allow REAP to go to Kansas City, Kansas, where before last year, REAP was only in Kansas City, Missouri. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my goodness, that's something that has caused, you know, so much to happen. Can you share the story about what happened to make you, to bring us to the place where we were sitting and listening to Crystal?
Well, I had been following, I had been doing a lot of things. I've been working on my master's in urban planning and development. I've been working on that, and I wanted something else that I kind of put it on hold because I've been developing a business, and so it was important to me that I had an opportunity to do some further enrichment to see exactly what area I wanted to redirect myself in. So I had been following REAP. I was going to Atlanta.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm also a real estate broker in Georgia.
Okay.
So I'm licensed in Kansas, Missouri, and in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So I was going to take the REIT class in Georgia.
And can you just say how many properties you've covered over the years?
Oh, God. countless.
I saw a number like 250.
I've sold many, many properties, but I was responsible for a portfolio at a bank of over $300 million. So if that encompassed hundreds of properties, right. and that's across the country. So I not only just sold real estate for myself part-time, but I also work for the bank selling real estate. REO is real estate-owned property.
Okay.
So that means that the bank owns the asset, and it was my job to dispose of it.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, I was going to Atlanta. I was going to go to Atlanta for those 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. And then when I was doing some volunteer work with the Heartland Black Chamber, I saw that it came across because, you know, I try to keep connected. And when Crystal was the president and CEO, then they would send the emails about things that were going on in the city. Mm-hmm. Well, I got an email about REAP, and I was like, oh, my God, REAP is coming to Kansas City.
Now, what is so significant about REAP?
Because REAP is it's an opportunity for minority individuals to be able to venture into the commercial real estate world. It gives them kind of an overview to see if this is a step that they'd like to take. And being that I have been in residential sales for years, I'm coming up on my 17th year in May of residential real estate sales. And I wanted to make sure that commercial was something that I wanted to venture out into, because I've done property management. I've been a LIHTC property manager, which is LIHTC, which stands for Low Income Housing Tax Credits. So managing those properties is very detailed. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to see if getting into listing and selling multifamily housing was something that I would be interested in doing. So that's why I took that step, to see what it was about, a little bit more detail on the selling side, so I could have that experience. So that's why it was important that I become a part of the program. And Crystal had no clue what REAP was.
No.
No,
I had to literally go online. I remember talking to Cindy Tree on the phone, and I was like, what is REAP?
And did you guys
oh my God,
it before was, Heartland?
Yeah, we did. And so she's like, oh my God, Crystal. It's blah, blah, blah. She starts going on, and I'm like, whoa, okay. So yeah, she's right. So REAP is Real Estate Associate Program, and it is a market-driven based program that bridges the gap between minority professionals and the commercial real estate industry. Mm-hmm. And it's 10 weeks. Yes. And included is some tours, and they see some commercial buildings, but then they hear from leading top developers in commercial real estate, and it just gives them an opportunity, like Cindy Tria said, to, okay, is this something I want? Because you don't have to be in real estate
like
to
me.
Want to participate, right? But you do have to be, they prefer that you are a graduate. But you don't have to be. Mm-hmm. I think if someone was, you know, is licensed in real estate, they would still, you know, be eligible to participate or to apply. So it's a really good program, though. They do want you to be a graduate of some type of, you know, in business or whatever. And it just gives you an opportunity, again, to see if this is something you want to do and to go into development and to know who the players are. Mm-hmm. And so they customize it in every city. So they've done it in Washington. They started out in Washington back in 1998.
Okay.
And then I think in 2015, they opened up in Los Angeles, or actually in 2011. And then Dallas was in 2015. So 2017 was Kansas City, Missouri, 2018, KCK.
Mm-hmm. It was great. It was an awesome experience because the first time it came, it didn't get in. I couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wasn't a Kansas City, Missouri resident.
Right.
I applied. Mm-hmm. I applied, made application. They gave me an interview date 2 days before my interview. They called and canceled me. And they said, well, I'm sorry, you cannot participate in the program because you're not a resident of Kansas City, Missouri. I'm like, I've been paying taxes in Kansas City, Missouri for over 25 years. Uh-huh. I'm licensed to sell real estate in Missouri. You guys get my money. Can I be a part of this program? I was devastated. I was in tears because people don't realize the weight of this program. Being a minority and being a woman in real estate, commercial real estate is a male-dominated and a white-dominated field. Mm-hmm. And to break into that, this program gives us the opportunity to get a seat at the table. It puts us in position to where we can be a part of and have memberships in ICSC and IREM, you know.
And those are the professional organizations.
The professional, commercial professional organizations, you know. And for me now to be able to say I'm a member of those organizations because of REAP.
Mm-hmm.
I have the experience to go to, the conventions. I have the experience to go to all of these opportunities and be in a room with people from Copagan Brooks, people from, there were so many people. I'm trying to even remember, you know, all the names and
Ryan,
the company.
Denton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We had so many.
Denton Law Firm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had attorneys come and talk to us. And you don't realize how small the community is until these are people that I've seen and names that I've heard just from researching, but then for them to come and then they're the ones that teach your class,
mm-hmm.
or they're the ones that show up to a networking event that we have, and then you're able to get the opportunity to have one-on-one conversations with these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of them that are very strong supporters of putting minorities into these fields,
mm-hmm.
you know, and giving us an opportunity to be able to step out into the commercial world.
So definitely a great networking opportunity. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, not having a background in real estate, it was every day I was changing the reason why I was here. Now, why are you here? Well, I mean, because basically I was there to learn about what the different organizations do and get a feeling for what this business is like.
Mm-hmm.
So for me and for a few others, I think it was not quite as tangible. But for somebody like yourself, did you find it to be something that you could put your teeth into and know how to take the next step?
Absolutely, because it taught us about not only that, it opened my eyes up to other opportunities that were going around,
mm-hmm.
because in the city, you know, I was able to get into the small development workshop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was for individuals who wanted to become developers in their community.
That, it was the Incremental Development Alliance
That's
workshop.
That's Kansas City, Kansas?
It was in Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But it turned on the light bulb because you're starting to recognize terminology and different things that are out there in the commercial world.
Okay.
From being in that environment for that, what you're in is what you put in is what comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you start seeing these things that have always been there, but your eyes have been opened up to the opportunities, and you're starting to see how these things can play a part in the development of your community. That's why I'm an advocate for KCK.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm born and raised in KCK. The hospital I was born in was Bethany, and it's no longer existing.
Okay.
So
it's
torn down. But I am a dot, mm-hmm. as well. So, but my grandfather was, he pastored a church in the urban core for mm-hmm. over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of his desires, was to be able to, for the northeast end of Wyandotte County to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a desire of mine. That's my mission, is to go into this and develop, you know, take the opportunity that we learn,
mm-hmm.
and go in and develop our communities. And I think it is pivotal that KCK played a part in my opportunity,
mm-hmm.
to be able to go out and develop in my community, because now that they've put out this money for us to be able to take part,
mm-hmm.
I want to take back and take what I've learned and put it to use, so they know that we haven't wasted their time.
Yes.
And we haven't wasted their money.
Speaking of that, we had our graduation on
Tuesday.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
On Tuesday. It's been a long week, y'all.
It has.
Thanksgiving. Thank you, Thanksgiving. But we did have our graduation on Tuesday, and our guest speaker was Miss Crystal Watson, Deputy Chief of Staff of United Government of Wyandotte County.
You got it right.
All right. Okay. And one of the things Miss Crystal wanted us to know very well, don't waste my time.
That's what she said.
That's right.
Sorry about that if I yelled too loud out there. But she said a few times to our graduating class, don't waste my time. And you knew she meant it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, you don't hear too many speakers telling a graduating class, don't waste my time. Why was that so important? And why were you able to be so real with us about that?
Well, you know, there was a report that came out a year or so ago. It was called the HEAT Report. And it was around the social determinants that contribute to poverty within Wyandotte County. And within the report, it talked about redlining. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, realtors, white realtors, were taught not to sell to black people. And if they did, they pretty much put them all in one area, which was within the area around Quindaro. And so redlining was very prevalent.
And can you just say where Quindaro,
Quindaro is on the east, northeast side of Wyandotte County.
And what would that compare to in KCMO?
Prospect.
Yeah, I was going to say Prospect.
East of Truth, Prospect.
Yeah,
okay.
Right in those areas.
Okay.
And so when the opportunity came, KCMO had contacted me and asked if KCK wanted to participate. And, you know, shared what the sponsorship would have been. I felt that was just a perfect opportunity for us to open this up to minorities, because we don't do a whole lot when it comes to minorities. Like, I think because we think that we're already blended, that we're doing those things, but in fact, we're not. And within Unified Government, we don't have a supplier diversity program. Within Public Works, we do set goals for MBE, WBE, which is women business entrepreneurs, minority business entrepreneurs, disadvantaged business entrepreneurs, veterans. But there's no real solid program of substance, right, within UG. And when this opportunity came up, I really kind of fought for it. So then we do it, and then we've got to get developers on the Kansas side, and you know, we had a little bit of a hard time trying to do that. And the time and effort that just to put in to making sure that this went, that it was successful so that I could have some real outcomes for administration so that next year there's no question that we do it. When I got up there and I spoke, I was like, don't waste my time. Don't, you know, because sometimes it takes a lot. And I've also learned, too, sometimes for women, it's hard on us, right? You know, I mean, particularly minority women sometimes. But women in general, sometimes our voice gets lost. And we have to really sometimes build a positive and, you know, justifiable business case to get what we want. And when you take your time to do that, and then the truth of the matter is everybody in the class, I mean, I looked at the class and I said, everybody here, this is going to be two way over their head. It was 10 weeks. It was accelerated. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar with commercial real estate, you've got a huge learning curve mm-hmm. in itself, just within real estate alone. And then to not be familiar with Kansas City, mm-hmm. Kansas. He only dealt with Kansas City, Missouri, mm-hmm. which more than half the class was KCMO.
Oh, you should have heard the grumbling.
Oh, I know. You know, it was like, okay. Then I had to find a location for the graduation, you know. So there were all these things that had to happen so that you all really could be a part of the KCK experience, if mm-hmm. you will. And, you know, the reality is that everybody's not going to do anything with it. right? Everybody's not going to do their homework and do their research and, you know, take their own little tour and get to know the city or sit down and talk to all the talent that was before them and expertise. The Urban Land Institute was one of the free memberships that the members are going to get. And I had just participated in a meeting because I now sit on their advisory board. And it's a national organization. And we have a chapter here in Kansas City, Missouri. And only saw three. You were one of them. Mm-hmm. You were in a current class. Two of you were in a current class and one was an alum. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Yes. And it was predominantly white males that mm-hmm. were in that room. We could count the number of minorities. We could count the number of women. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, if I'm going to inspire them, mm-hmm. The best way I can inspire is you don't waste my time. Mm-hmm. Because for me to even be in the position that I'm in and be able to leverage that so that other people can have opportunity, you don't want to lose that.
Right.
Because we're not always in those positions. Women are not always in those positions. Mm-hmm. Minorities are not always in those positions. And that's where it came from. Mm-hmm. And I feel really passionate about it because I do work hard. Mm-hmm. And my mission is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in that position where I can be a voice for anybody who doesn't have a voice. Any constituent of the community, whether they're white, black, male, female, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I can help be that voice.
Well, I certainly appreciated it because a lot of times, I mean, we were kind of a small group. You know, and it could have been underplayed, you know what I'm saying? But you made sure that everybody, mm-hmm. not only the graduates, but the administrators, anybody who was in that room, the wives and husbands,
yeah,
girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, anybody in that room understood that there was some accountability and that you were going to hold us accountable.
Absolutely.
And nobody else, you mm-hmm. know. And I was very appreciative of that because lately I've been looking for accountability, you know, somebody to hold me accountable because it helps you to do more. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. But I'm going to tell you the other thing that I really appreciated, especially about you two in particular, and that was, you know, I do appreciate whenever, and it just gives me tingles down my spine whenever I see two women or more coming together to make something happen. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes it just doesn't happen that way, mm-hmm. you know, and so to hear that Sinitria's desire, heartfelt, passionate desire to be in the REAP program was met by somebody who could appreciate where she was coming from, mm-hmm. and not just appreciate it, but make it happen.
Yeah.
For me, that was like, wow, that is, you know, even now I'm getting chills down my spine because to me, that's what this show is all about, the Every Woman Show. And that's what I think women in this area have to be about.
You gotta
help each other. Mm-hmm. You can't just,
you're absolutely,
you know,
right.
You can't do that thing that's been happening for so long that allows us to get separated and fighting against each mm-hmm. other. You know, the competition that is there sometimes doesn't have to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, I was really appreciative. And I even saw people saying that, you know, there was one of the people that you saw at that ULI meeting.
Uh-huh.
She had said to both of you, I remember when you were there, she said, you guys are my, what did she say? Oh, goodness. My heroes. That's, I don't know, I may be saying it wrong, but she said, you're
Sheroes.
What did she say? Because she said it to,
remember.
You know who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Shauna,
she said, I look up to both of you. You guys are my hero. You're my, oh, man. Anyway, but she was saying, you as a local real estate agent, and then you as a representative in the government, mm-hmm. she was saying that both of you, I look up to both of you, and I was like, oh, wow, this is, you gotta capture this stuff, and we gotta emphasize that that's what's going on here.
Well, and you know, I really appreciate you saying that because I think too many times we take for granted even our own relationships and mm-hmm. friendships. Mm-hmm. And while Sinitra and I have an excellent friendship, when she cried on the phone and said that she wanted to be part of this program a year ago, I mean, my heart went out. And even if it hadn't been her, if it had been you, I still would have like, okay, well, let me see what I can do. And when I couldn't get it done, who knew? And this is what I told you guys in my speech, mm-hmm. that a year later, right. I would be in a position where I could
exactly
help get this sponsor so that not only could Sinitra get in the program, but other Kansans mm-hmm. could get in the program. Mm-hmm. And as women, we have to. It is so important that we not be so judgmental and critical of one another.
Exactly.
And just lend our hand out and help each other. Mm-hmm. And like I told the class, what I did for her ended up helping so many more, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And we were able to take it one step further. But without us even being willing, and mm-hmm. she was willing to say, I need this. Mm-hmm. You know, as women, we don't mm-hmm. even say how much what yeah. we need.
Because without her, it wouldn't have been possible. And that's why relationships are so important mm-hmm. because, you know, and I tear up just thinking about it because I know since I've been in this industry for so long and understanding that the weight of what was given to us, people do not realize what was given to us. I mean, you know, yes, we have tuition, but the experience that we just went through mm-hmm. is something that money could not buy, can't buy relationships.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. And we were given the opportunity to start developing those with real players in our community, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm grateful that it was five of us from Kansas. It was five of us from Kansas.
I had like, 15?
Maybe 20.
Yeah.
Five, you know, a fourth of us were from Kansas, mm-hmm. you know, but it was okay. It was all right because that meant that we went from none to five.
Yeah.
And my thing has been building other individuals and letting them know real estate is something that you can do, you know, and what we're trying to do is to be able to bridge that gap mm-hmm. into developing these communities that are blighted, mm-hmm. that are, you know, and underserved as far as opportunity goes, and being able to put, there's money available for, you know, grants and things like that. So mm-hmm. I do other services, you know, I do taxes to help people to get their financial situation. I do credit repair, you know, and we do those things because there's that gap. So if I want to go into the community and help to put families that are working and to create more tax revenue for my community, I'm helping the people to stop falling between the cracks and get them to credit qualify for these grants.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's a process, but we're here to help because it's not about chasing money. It's mm-hmm. about chasing a purpose and making sure that families have someplace stable to live.
Yeah.
You know, there's 700 kids that are, you know, without housing, that are homeless in District 500.
Right.
That's a lot of kids that don't have homes. And we're trying to, I'm in the middle of the city trying to make it a point to reach out to whomever I can, make those connections with the district if I can, you know. And that's where I know if you let people know what your purpose is, because you're out here to actually help, and just, hey, what can we do? Mm-hmm. What can we do to make it better? What can we do to create community? You know, because we have to go back to those days of old where people cared. And
yeah.
it's not every man for themselves. We have to remember that it takes a village. It truly does. Because if I care about whether you have shelter, if mm-hmm. I care about whether you're eating, if I care about whether you're good in your home, then you'll also be concerned about me.
Right.
And that is that where that cycle continues. You know, if I tell people a lot of times, a poverty mentality is the same thing as it's the same as a person with a greedy mentality. They always fear that they'll never be enough, you know. But then if you can help people break that cycle and let them know, I'm not here to take advantage of you. I'm here to help.
Right.
You know, but that's the problem, is that everybody's built up these walls because they think that somebody's trying to take something from them. Mm-hmm. So they have their guard up. But we have to let them know that we're actually trying to do something and not just going in and doing infill, but trying to create change, create impact in these communities by redoing whole blocks, creating safe housing, creating quality housing. And that REAP program let us see everything on a completely different scale about mixed-use properties, multifamily housing, and developing just, you know, not even just single-family homes. We even talked a little bit about that, but how commercial real estate can make a difference for communities as a whole on another level.
Because you got things like Anchor, buildings like the grocery store that's coming to Kansas City, Kansas, as well as KU's campus that's already, their office building that's already there. I know as a Habitat of KC staff person, I'm also interested because we go across the lines and we have homeowners in Kansas City, Kansas, as well as Kansas City, Missouri. And I was really surprised. You, Crystal, took us on a tour of Kansas City, Kansas. I was so glad to go. They waited for me.
We did. She made us make a stop.
I was so glad.
That's okay.
But she, yeah, and she took us around and showed us some places that you told me were distressed, and I was like, oh, okay, they're distressed. All right. Can you? I didn't see the distress that I was
not
expecting
like what
to see.
Some metropolitan cities.
And you gave us a little bit of history about Quindaro and things like that. Can you tell us a little about Quindaro and the things that people can see when they go to the Kansas City, Kansas side?
Well, one of the places I took the group is to Quindaro Ruins. And Sinitra is very well, and it's the Overlook. And
really pretty.
Beautiful. It sits on 26 acres, owned by the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And they have, let's see, Western University owns that property. And back then, I don't remember the year, when the slaves came across, because Kansas was a free state, Missouri wasn't, slaves would come across the Missouri River, and Nancy Quindaro, who was an Indian, would help the slaves. And the township ended up being named after her, which was her last name, Quindaro. And on the property, there's not much ruins left. But they developed a little township in that area, and some of it is left, not very much of it. But I took them on that, in that, to the ruins area, and then the Overlook, where you could see all the way down to the Missouri River, and then took them down Quindaro, 3rd Street, Fairfax, Industrial, just to get a good feel for the area. And pretty much it was just an old, pretty much old community. I mean, houses are old. We've had a lot of folks leave the area. And so it is, much of the property in that area is either land bank, which means it's within unified government's pool of property that they've inherited. It is either tax eligible homes, meaning folks haven't paid their taxes, so the taxes are at least 3 years old. There are some homes in that area where taxes haven't been paid for 15, 20 years.
Okay.
And then
how does that affect the community when your taxes haven't been paid?
How it affects it is that if you don't have a tax base, then you won't see improvements in your, in that area. Then there's the vacant lots. So their houses have been torn down, and it's just a vacant lot, and that's pretty much it. Or the city tore down homes, and now there are vacant lots. So with probably, I would say, 75% 70, would you say that, Senator? Yeah. A good 70% conservatively is either one of those. Mm-hmm. Land bank, vacant lot, wow. tax sale eligible property.
Absolutely.
Oh, that means we're not generating a tax base. We have very little business, a couple of gas stations, mm-hmm. yeah. a few restaurants. Actually, mm-hmm. One retail, which is a Dollar General.
I was going to say, it's a Dollar General Family yeah, Dollar, you know?
Yeah, which is on every other block right. in the hood. Mm-hmm. And we don't even really have a hood, but anyway. So, you know, most of our folks that are low income to poverty live anywhere from 3rd Street to 34th Street.
East of Parallel, 635.
East of 635. Yeah. Mm-hmm. East of 635 to the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
From 3rd all the way to at least 34th Street.
Mm-hmm.
You have low income to poverty that live in that area. So there's just a lot of potential. And when we went on the tour, I said, I see potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see where we have an opportunity. If we pull our resources together, if just the class alone mm-hmm. develops some type of investment group or commercial real estate group to even work together to buy property, build homes, put businesses there, wow, Quindaro can come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a wire group.
Mm-hmm.
It's women investing, KC women investing in real estate.
Okay.
I have a wire group on Facebook. You can request to join, but we're going to start getting together.
That's
and
great.
The information, I started this group years ago.
Okay.
Not knowing where it would go or not knowing the potential of it. And that's, and I know at this point in my life that it was not for me to be in the REAP program. In the first cohort,
uh-huh.
it was for this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah, because if you'd gone in the first cohort, I wouldn't have had any involvement
right.
whatsoever.
You know,
I would have missed out.
Yeah, and it was like I opened my real estate brokerage. I moved into a place where I could actually see these things and be able to help these, you know, move things forward, mm-hmm. be able to. There are people who are calling me that used to live in that community who want to go back.
That's what I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. Are people trying to come back?
They want to go back.
The community?
You know, they mm-hmm. want to be back in the Northeast End. And mm-hmm. we are trying to create housing opportunities for individuals that want to be in that place. You know, sometimes people say, well, you have to have an anchor, you know. But right. the thing is that you have people who are willing to go back
mm-hmm.
without the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got people who are coming in and people who are getting a sense of ownership, a sense of pride of owning something and having something, and getting them to the, you know, to change the way that we're doing things,
mm-hmm.
To realize that, you know, this tax base is going to help the community, you paying your taxes, you doing all this, because when it's top heavy or, you know, it's not evened out, everybody else who does pay taxes has to make up for those who are not.
Right.
You know? So, I'm grateful, I mean, that I'm in this how we are, but if you can find us on Facebook at KC Wire. It's a women's group, and we're going to start meeting to see what we can do to make change.
And that's a nonprofit organization for networking.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's just a networking organization,
mm-hmm.
And we are here so we can put ideas together
mm-hmm.
to see who wants to play these parts, you know, and what we can do to go in these communities and fix things. There might be somebody who might be able to tutor some kids, you know, work on life skills with the parents, you mm-hmm. know, but we're trying to put our resources together and really rebuild. Help rebuild.
And, you know, our youth need to see women and more minority professionals in the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see enough of that. With all of the potential that we do have in Wyandotte County when it comes to development, we need to see minority women developers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't see it a lot. I didn't even really know that it existed.
Mm-hmm.
If Sunitra hadn't shared with me about REAP a year ago, I never even would have researched it
mm-hmm.
to even know, oh my gosh, that could have been an option. option for me growing up. Mm-hmm. Just like government could have been an option. We stumbled into these mm-hmm. fields. It wasn't like it was something that we were raised to or introduced to mm-hmm. when we were in school. And I think we have a responsibility to make sure that we're visible to our youth, mm-hmm. Regardless. And anything is possible mm-hmm. when you can at least see yourself. Mm-hmm. I remember watching Hillary Clinton, and thinking, man, a woman is finally running for president of the United States. I remember Carol Marinovich when she ran for mayor for Kansas City, Kansas. And I thought, what? Mm-hmm. A woman can be mayor? Mm-hmm. We are role models mm-hmm. for some little girl that has not or is not and doesn't see other women in professional fields. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, our life is not in, and Sunitra talked about this a lot, about purpose. We have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And our life is not here just for us. Mm-hmm. It is for each other. When mm-hmm. God created us, He created us to help one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why when you see catastrophic events and, tragedies, people come together because, just deep down in our soul, we just were created to do that. Mm-hmm. unless you're just a naturally evil person.
Yeah.
But, we're just instinctively, our hearts are wired to give, or to care or to want to do something. Mm-hmm. And it's our job to find out what is special about us, because each and every one of us is special. Right. I don't care.
We are
all special, and we have something beautiful to give to this world.
It's true. I'm glad you mentioned that about role models. And that was what the young lady, our fellow student peer, said. She said, I look up to you guys as role models. But the one thing that another young lady who's a single mother, she's a Habitat homeowner. One thing that she asked me, and you kind of talked about it, but she asked me, she said, there's nothing right now in our community for our youth. She was saying she would love to see more activities as compared to Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And is that something that you think will happen?
I hope it does.
But like you're saying, it's dependent on those taxpayer dollars.
Not necessarily.
Because it depends on the parents.
Okay.
Are the parents going to get them? Because you have a lot of people who are energetic. I know there's a gentleman by the name of Richard Hampton, mm-hmm. and he is hands on deck. He tries to take people and put them into position, the kids in the community, mm-hmm. And teaching them how to box, okay. different things like that. You got people out here, but where are the parents going to play a part in bringing the kids to these things?
I see.
Because sometimes, you can get the kids all hyped up and they want to go, but will the parents take the time to bring them? Will mm-hmm. the parents take the time to say, look, I'm going to sacrifice some of my time to make sure that my child has an outlet or an opportunity, mm-hmm. Because sometimes, the parent is where it falls into.
And you guys are both parents.
Yes.
How has motherhood, being a wife, being a member of the an active member of the community, I'm saying this for both of you, how has that worked for you as the deputy chief of staff of Kansas City, Kansas? What makes it work for you?
Well, it's worked out great.
I heard that.
I think there are pluses and minuses when mm-hmm. you're a community leader. So I say that because I tell my boys all the time, y'all better be careful what you do, because you don't know who's watching you.
And you have four sons?
And I have four sons. They are 18, 24, 27, and 34. Mm. And they cannot do what everybody else do.
Mm-hmm.
Because people know who they are. Aren't you Miss Watson's son? Mm-hmm. Or I get, aren't you Neil's mom? Aren't you BJ's mom? Mm-hmm. So being visible and being a leader in the community in that respect, you got to be careful what you do, because people going to see it and they're going to know who you are. Mm-hmm. So you can't do nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. I tell them that all the time. Don't embarrass me. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of it is, it allows me to have information that I can pass on to them. So while I may be in circles that the average person may not be in, I'm able to share that with them and leverage my role, or that information, shall I say, to help them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I do for my kids, I would do for anybody. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, your ministry is always... starts at home, right?
It does. It really does.
But, and so I always share what jobs are available, what the trends are, where business is, where technology's headed, you know, that kind of thing. So they're up on it. And I'm more than happy to share that, though, with anybody. Mm-hmm. I get people telling me all the time, you know, let me know when there's a job or this and that. And so I will take time to do that for anybody. But I think the biggest advantage they have is just that, because I am a community leader, I have access to information that, you know, most people won't have, and so I can pass that on to them.
Mm-hmm. And Sunitra, how about you? Because I know I asked you a question about dealing with just a relationship type thing, and you were very, I just appreciated how confident you were about your response, and how I just felt like you had a lot of experience with dealing with youth and dealing with things in the community.
Yeah, and I get a lot of support. Mm-hmm. And I realized that everybody does not have the same support that I have. I have kids, but my kids are younger. I have a 20-year-old, I have a 12-year-old, and I have a 14-month-old.
Oh.
I have a range of children.
I'm almost an empty nester.
Right. I thought I was, but you know, hey, God had other plans. It was not in the cards for me just to have those two children. But my husband is a very, very, very strong supporter of my purpose. You know, he helps and he pushes that, you know, and he's just like, you know, we got to do what we got to do. He's like, and he really, really supports and uplifts me. Things have changed over time, and he has really said, you have something great, you know, and for your husband to be able to push you, you know, and it's not a competition between, because he lays back, he's very calm, he reminds me so much of my dad, and he's not one that has to be out in the forefront. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be the one, and he'll say, you know, I understand, baby, you got to do what you got to do, you got to help the people, you got to help the people, you have to help the people. So, sometimes going to community events, trying to, you know, be there at the kids' events, at concerts and all this other stuff, you have to make sacrifice. But my parents, my sister, you know, my cousins, my siblings, they all pull together. And when I can't be there, they're there. Mm-hmm. So that family support is
very...
So
you really have that village.
I do have a village. That's what I'm saying. I want everybody else to have the village.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I remember when it was nothing to say, you know, we're going down the street to Miss So-and-so's house because she's cooking dinner tonight because I'm late. Mm-hmm. You know, those were the things. We had family where we all lived in the same cul-de-sac at one point. Uh-huh. You know, on 24th Street. Mm-hmm. You know, down in the city. And that is the sense of community that we would like to bring back, and I would like to share with people that this is where we could be going. Mm-hmm. You know, back to the days of old.
Well, I know a part of that, thanks for sharing, because I know sometimes it's easy to when you're listening to these interviews, it's easy to hear these women that are doing such great things and that are so active, and then it's we have to keep in mind they have a family.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing that I get from most of the you guys is that family is first. Mm-hmm. The business is there,
yes,
but it's kind of all together, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's an encouragement for other women to see that, you know, these kind of things can be done. Well, ladies, we're coming up to the end of our hour. It's been so fun. I think at the beginning somebody said an hour.
Yeah, that was me.
What are we going to talk about for an hour?
But it goes by quickly.
It did.
And before we leave out, is there anything you'd like to say? Maybe 10, 15 seconds to encourage other women out there, other people who might be interested in getting into the commercial real estate field or know more about Kansas City, Kansas.
Well, I'll just say go for it. Take the time to look around KCK. And if you have any questions, I can be reached at Unified Government. I'm not difficult to find. But I'm going to end with a quote because this is about women from Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. And Maya Angelou said that she said, people won't always remember what you do and they won't always remember what you say, but they'll always remember how you make them feel. So be encouraged to make another woman feel great.
Thank you.
Well, I would say move in your purpose. If you have that gut feeling and that desire that you have to do something for somebody because you realize that it's not about you, you know, we can get a whole lot accomplished. My grandfather, Willie Vaughn, used to always say, much can be accomplished if nobody cares who gets the credit. I say we all pull together, reach out. Like I said, my name is Sinitria Hampton Monk. You can contact me if you have questions about commercial real estate, residential real estate, learning about opportunity zones, learning about tax incentives. We can have those discussions, but join our wire group, you know, so we can network with each other and figure out, put our heads together. And KC Wire is on Facebook. And, you know, we just want to put our heads together and make it happen.
Thank you so much. And that was, want to say thanks once again to Deputy Chief of Staff of Kansas City, Kansas Unified Government, Crystal Watson, and Sinitria Hampton Monk, entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur, because yes. I can't list it all, in Kansas City, Kansas. And this is Marvita Oliver. Thanks so much to Fiona Noling and Una Noling on the board and in the background.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. KKFI. This is, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio Station.